Wonderful to start the morning in worship. I just feel like saying a prayer of thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this church. Thank you that we can lift our hearts in song. We praise you, Lord. Come and abide with us as we learn more of you and as we praise your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's a new month, and so we have a new memory verse for our continuing going through the story, kind of the greatest story, our story. So in your bulletin, you have a little handout with the classes for this month and the memory verse at the very bottom. Some Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Now, you may be more familiar with this verse from the New Testament because it's in the Synoptic Gospels as the greatest commandment, followed by the second greatest, which is to love your neighbor. But you may not have realized that, yes, this was in the Old Testament, and it's from Deuteronomy. And so we are commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But it's interesting looking at the Hebrew meaning of those words. Heart is lekach, and it means heart, but it also means the inner person, your mind. When you say love your God with your heart, it's more than just, you know, this organ, but it's really with yourself. Next, we have with your soul. Now, for the Hebrews, the soul was kind of in your throat. It kind of relates to your breath. It can be, it's your living being, it's yourself. It's you're alive because you breathe, and your kind of breath comes from your throat. So that's nepesh is the Hebrew word for that. And finally, with your strength, maybe your muscles, and that's mahad. And it means more with much force, with abundance, exceedingly. So I would suggest as a little clue to help you memorize this, that you've got Deuteronomy, he's a big guy, 6'5" tall, and you're commanded to love the Lord your God from your heart, your soul, and your strength. All right? So if I can have everybody read with me now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts.
The Israelites set out on a long desert journey back to their homeland. God guided them with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. As the Israelites set up camp at the base of Mount Sinai, a dark cloud covered the mountaintop. Thunder boomed and lightning filled the sky. Terrified, the people backed away from the mountain. But Moses climbed up into the dark cloud. The ground began to shake, and God spoke to Moses from a blazing fire on the mountaintop. Here is how my people should live. Don't worship anything but me. Don't misuse or disrespect my name. Set aside a day each week to rest. Honor your parents. Don't murder, steal, or lie. Live purely and faithfully. Don't lust after someone else's spouse or their possessions. When Moses told the people these commands, they said, "We'll do everything God said." On the mountaintop, God gave him stone tablets detailing the laws and commands inscribed by God's own finger. When Moses returned to their camp, he found the Israelites in a wild party, worshiping a golden idol they'd made. The people said, "We want to follow a God that we can see." Burning with anger, Moses threw the tablets, breaking them into pieces. Then he ground their idol into powder, mixed it with water, and made them drink it. Moses begged God to forgive his people. God said to him, "I'm full of compassion and love and slow to get angry. If my people obey my commands, then I'll show my power through them." After giving Moses a new set of tablets, God said, "Build a special place for me to live among the people I love. So Moses gathered the very best craftsmen and built a sacred tent called a tabernacle in the center of their camp. When God was present inside the tent, a cloud appeared above it during the day and a pillar of fire at night. When the cloud moved, the people followed and continued their long journey back to their homeland.
Well, today I'm going to take that video and focus on the Ten Commandments, all right? They went through it really fast, didn't they, in the video? I'm sure you didn't get it all. I'm going to have a chance to talk to you about those for about 10 minutes. And for the first 5 minutes, I want to tell you what happened before God gave Moses those Ten Commandments. I want to cast those Ten Commandments in a bit of a different light than just a legalistic set of rules. You see, God had a conversation with Moses right before he gave him those Ten Commandments. And we usually don't know about that conversation he had. It's a very significant conversation, and I think we should understand the Ten Commandments in that context. This is the scripture, Exodus 19:3 through 6, where Moses and God are talking. Then Moses went up to God. He's on the mountain, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." What an amazing conversation. You know, we're so removed from nature today. We probably, some of us have never seen an eagle. And we don't know what God is talking about when he's telling Moses that he carried his people on eagle's wings. But when eagles teach their young to fly, it's an amazing process. Now, Todd found a tawny eagle, which you just saw before this slide. That's a bald eagle, but the first eagle is one that the Israelites would have seen in their region, in their country. Now, what happens when an eagle teaches their youngsters to fly is that at first everything's just hunky-dory for these young eaglets. The mother eagle makes a nest at least 8 feet by 8 feet. It's a massive nest, and she fills it with all kinds of cool, soft stuff, even down from her own chest she puts in there. The largest eagle's nest on record was 9.5 feet wide, 20 feet deep, and weighed almost 3 tons, if you can believe that. That's like kind of the Ritz-Carlton for the eaglets, you know. Beautiful, wonderful nest, really comfortable. But when the time is right, the mother takes the eaglets to another home. She takes them home to another place that they will eventually love, and that's the sky. But they aren't going to learn to love the sky until they learn how to fly. So when the time is right, she picks them up, takes them in flight to a great and dizzying height, and then you know what she does? She drops them. She drops them. Yeah. This is all a shock for the young eaglet as he begins to fall, spinning down through the air really fast. He flutters, but he doesn't know what to do. The ground races up to meet him, and then as he begins to contemplate his comfortable but surprisingly brief life, Mama Eagle, or sometimes the father, swoops down underneath at the last possible second and picks the eaglet up and soars upward with the fledgling on its wings. "Great," thinks the baby eagle. "My trauma is over. Thank goodness that's done. You know, I might suffer with a little PTSD, but I'll get over it. I'll recover as long as I get back into that warm nest. And by the way, Mom, isn't it just about lunchtime?" "It is, isn't it?" "No, it's not lunchtime." The mother regains her original altitude and she drops the fledgling eagle again and again and again. And each time she swoops down to save him and bears him up at the last second on eagle's wings. And eventually the eaglet learns to fly and learns that the sky is his home. And he's free. Now, Todd put a video together, and I just want you to see it, what that looks like when an eagle flies.